conversations. We're playing for sheep stations. What used to be footy friends and fun, and now that Dino has come and gone, we're playing for sheep stations. We're playing for sheep stations.
Thanks for that, Ruben Garrick. Going into a matchup with the Bulldogs with a 5-round average of 56, pumps out 132, resting nicely on my pine. Thanks for that, Dylan Brown. 162 came up clutch for me. However, Mary declined both him and Ruben playing last week, so I set about 300 points on the pine in the head-to-head P4SS final and got absolutely toweled up by Allison. Joined tonight by a trainer back from his hiatus after coaching about a gazillion junior footy teams, I'm pretty sure. Nice to have him back for probably our last, I would say, podcast, because there's not much point wrapping up an average season unless Guardsy somehow comes from the clouds and we'll spruik him up in the top 1,000. Guardsy's here. Mark might join us, but he's having a few technical issues. And I've got Kev, the common man, with me tonight for his podcast debut. He has been a long-time listener, first-time caller, if we're going to go down the radio road. But we'll go back to our usual system and we'll talk to Trainer first. It's been a while, mate. How are you travelling Supercoach-wise, and are you just happy for this season to peter out?
Yep, ready for this to be over. Still sucking. Just been going progressively. I was going all right for a bit there. Actually got back into the top 10,000, back into about 8,000. That's about as best I did. And then just, petered out, went back into 1,500 spots last week to 13,500. So pretty rank. Good news is I have injured Sam Walker though, so I'm pretty chuffed with that. That's a real positive to end the season on.
I thought you'd lost that skill, but you seem like you might have picked it up right at the end, which is I'm not sad about the Sam Walker
one. Counts.
I'm not overly sad. Guardsy, have you got any good news this week? You had bad news last week. Good news this week?
No good news. No good news. Scored 12-23. Still saw 115 red arrows. I don't own Dylan Brown. I own Sam Walker. And that's what fucked me. So
where are you at now? What's that, about 1,300?
Nah, 1,129. So I'm still a chance.
Okay. You're the best chance we've
still
got.
Still a chance.
You're the best chance we've got, so...
I've lost, I've worked out in the last 2 weeks, I've lost 460 spots. So, absolute stinker. Get fucked.
I'll give you something that makes you feel good. Kev, how'd you score on the weekend, mate?
I scored 1,110, which was, for me, pretty good because I am the common man. And that gave me a rocketing... And wait, we're buffering, 1,720 green arrows to put me in 73,304. If people aren't motivated by that, they should give the game away.
Makes me feel
probably
good.
Might be.
Because I think we could add the other five of us normally together and we still wouldn't add up to 72,000. So you've made me feel actually pretty good about what we do here. Well Cooked Angus scored 1,200 on the dot. Like I said, I sat Ruben Garrick. Dropped another 511 spots to sit 12,145. I'm going to mention the Playing for Sheep Stations League, Allison. So that's the Wags team for Mark. Top scored this week, 1441 in the head-to-head grand final. I think she's expecting Dan Marnie to print her and laminate a certificate because I know Dan did that when he won it a couple of years in a row. Other people that are part of our league, our overall league, Ponga for PM, Daniel, 1388. And Slippery When Wet, I'm assuming he's a poor suffering Eels fan, Ed, 1303. I don't know if anyone else has done any teamless stuff, but with Mark not here, it could be a very short little segment. Anything really obvious that you can think of that we can just point out? The Tony Staggs not playing in the first game for the Broncos, most of the other Storm blokes back, Payne Haas out with a foot injury.
Payne Haas.
Yeah, so he's back out.
Say that Daniel again. Tupou's been rested. Dave Fafita's done his ankle. Daniel Tupou's been rested. Dave Fafita's been soft.
There hasn't been a heap of restings.
Trainer's man's back, at least. Raymond.
Who's that?
My boy. Back to get Sinbin for one final week.
Who is it?
Nah. Everyone's playing this week.
Yeah, looks like a good crop. And I've had a quick look at the permutations of what could happen, and I don't think there's too many that change teams' resting blokes. I just don't think there's too much that goes on there. So Spoon Bowl on Friday night, 6 o'clock, Tigers versus Eels. That's one to look forward to. Bit of a shame the Broncos shit the bed last week, or that Friday night, the Thursday night game could have been an absolute ripper. And the Knights versus Dolphins, last game of the season, effectively now is the last team into the top eight. The only good news out of it is that the Dragons got so close to coming back. I was driving down to Canberra listening to it on the radio, and at 44-12, with 9 minutes to go, Mary said, "Why are you still nervous about Parramatta?" And I said, "Because it's Parramatta. You watch this. This will get so tight." 44-40, 7 seconds to go. I said, "They'll lose this, these bastards." And they won 44-40. Dragons got a record out of this year, highest ever losing score. So that's a good one to take out. Just shows that the Dragons aren't going home empty-handed. They can't get the spoon, but they've got a great record, highest ever losing score. Guardsy, we're going to move straight into angry fans. We're going to have a shorter pod tonight because we're just going to rip through this, because I've got a few questions to ask Kev in that new segment, The Common Man with Kevin Smith. So even a common name, Kevin Smith, there's probably only about 9 million of you in the phone book. Guardsy, angry fans, which referees have upset you this week? Any players or a club in particular that had a chance and
No referees this week.
who you
No
got?
referees. No
None.
referees. They got the week
Goals.
off.
Okay. Who you got then?
I think I was too angry about the Broncos, and I just the rest is a blur, to be honest.
And I
I've
guess
just wrote.
you can't really beat getting lapped on the ref, can you?
Yeah, I just wrote Broncos whole team. They can all get fucked.
Got a bit of
And the only
lag
other
in.
thing I've got is Trent Robinson. Trent Robinson for being a whingy, sookie, soft vagina, for his carry on in the press conference when he was carrying on
He
about
looks like.
Elliot Whitehead came up to apologise,
Yeah, I'm not a huge
and he
fan.
told him,
Not a huge
he
fan of
told
Elliot
him,
Whitehead, but that's just, I mean, it's part of the game. He didn't do it on purpose.
but. But any coach that coaches Jared Warrior Hargreaves and then wants to say something to a player about it's always been in his game, fuck off, Robbo, you absolute sookie wanker. Get fucked.
I tend to agree
Oh,
with you on that one,
they
Guardsy.
were, that was it. That was it. Trent got me way too angry. That's all I was thinking about, how much of a sookie he is.
Yeah, very good. It's good to have you here, Kev.
Thanks,
Little
mate.
interview with the common man of Supercoach. There's a few things that we talked about while we were on the slopes today, skiing. One of the first questions I want to ask you started strongly. You were about 500 points ahead in the Playing for Sheep Stations League when I had a look back after round four, maybe even round five. So you started the ground and hit the ground strongly. What was the strategy leading into this season that you employed?
After season one full time last season, I thought I would go with a pick and stick strategy and I would go for the big guns early. To my own folly. So I went for Haas, Cleary, Grant, Walsh, Reuben Cotter, pretty much the Australian side
So
was kind of the opening round.
you had a lot of the guns, spent a lot of money there. How did you make the rest of your side up?
Absolute nuffs. So I dead set barely struggled to
So
get 17 and went, the guns are going big.
you think that's a strange strategy, but it's a pretty proven one. Guns and nuffs has been a long time strategy in Supercoach, and you just have to make sure you've got the right nuffs, but not nuffs like guns and cheapies. And I think you might have started with a few too many nuffs, not cheapies, if that's the right way of putting it. Would you agree there?
Joe Chan has been
Oh.
part of my team for a long
Mate,
time.
Joe Chan was the bane of many Supercoaches' existence this year. We all thought he'd locked down that edge spot, and then someone named Sean Bloor came onto the scene and showed that Joe Chan wasn't very good. So you weren't alone in Joe Chan. Your front row, you had Haas and Cotter.
Haas and Cotter.
Who were the other two that you had? Because if you remember listening last year, Dan Marnie and a few of us had Pele, and we were in a bit of Pele panic quite often.
Yes.
This year it was Sam Hughes, and I can't even remember the other bloke from Canterbury's name. that started two games and then went to the wilderness, and we were in the same position with a incredibly cheap, very ordinary front rower. So
I'm going to say something that you talked me out of, and I went Spencer Lenu, and then he managed to get kicked out for 8 weeks after Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's the definition of the problem with the guns early.
Yes. I think if you look at some research, there's some guns that really do fire in those early rounds and there's some that don't. And I think it's about the research if you're going to go down that path. When did you realise that you might have some issues? Like, how far in? Because I remember talking to you, and I remember you saying, yeah, I've got a system, I've got it worked out, I think I've hit the cheat code, and I'm scoring well over 1,000 every week in this first few weeks, when everyone else was probably in the 900s to early 1,000s, you were getting 1,200s early on.
Yep.
When did you realise that...
There was 1 week...
Your goose was cooked, so to speak.
The 1 week, I think it was week four, when Haas, Walsh and Cleary's hamstring number one went down. That's when I knew I was in serious trouble, because I then had to make some really big choices. I looked at Walsh and went, he's out, I can't afford to carry him. I looked at Haas and went, I can't afford to carry him. And I went for Patrick Carrigan, which didn't work. And then I thought I would hold out because Cleary's is a niggle. The niggle that lasted 12 weeks.
Yeah, a little bit more than a niggle on that one. So what's been your biggest takeaway from this year? Like, what's the thing you've learnt the most? And then we'll talk about a couple of things that we've talked about at dinner tonight, around some of the things you didn't have you don't really have a handle on how players' prices rise and fall and what the value means and how that links back to their average and those sort of things, and why looking at a young cheap guy at 212, he only has to increase and get a 40 average or a 35 average, you make 150. That's kind of the value we put on a trade, 150,000.
There's a couple of things in that. The first one I think I'd say is leaving $900,000 on the bench doesn't help.
Yeah.
That's a fairly good tip. Cash counts early. Mm. And I know these are tips for people who have listened to you guys for ages, but when you know footy but you don't understand Supercoach, they don't make sense until you really get to see it in action.
A good rugby league player doesn't always translate to be a good Supercoach player.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Cooper Cronk was a really good example of that. Darren Lockyer was a good example of that. So
that's definitely been a big one. Just the difference between Supercoach and rugby league, an understanding. For me, I think we talked a little bit about it at dinner. There's five clear phases in Supercoach from what I've learned out of this season. There's pre-origin, origin, post-origin, finals, and then a stage that I've forgotten about somewhere in the middle.
I think it's just... I think you look at... I think you're right.
The early phase.
Yeah, and you then can break up. You can break up that real early cash generation between weeks 1 and 7, 1 and
yep.
8,
yep.
where you get your first price rises, and you've really got to nail those cheapies to make sure you're in the money. I did a bit of a figure this year. If you get to 15 million at any point, every one of your players can be worth 600,000.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 million's wasn't that hard to achieve this year. If you look at the really big guns, some of them are at 16 million, so that means they can have every best player in every position with some spares. Their sit versus start dilemmas must be a nightmare. So I think that's a really good one, Kev, that you've taken out this year, is that you've got to make cash, and you've got to make cash early.
And I think when it comes down to it, that first 7 weeks, so when I've sat back and thought really carefully about this, how do you identify 3 to 5 guys who are going to be cheapies that are going to turn value? And I think for me, that's about the amount of football you get to watch and the amount of exposure you have to team lists and data that actually allows you to make that evaluation, because it's not obvious.
You also spoke to me that you didn't have Supercoach Gold this year, and you found it really tricky to try and navigate the stats sections, and even as simple as quickly glancing and who's playing with the green dots and the orange dots and the red dots and the circles and the injuries. I mean, I think I take that for granted because I've had it for a long time. And for anyone that, I think it's $25 for the season, I would highly recommend it. I'm not spruiking for the Daily Telegraph.
So Kev's Common Man quotes, if you wanted to play Supercoach on Channel 9 in the free event, you're going to be in the middle to bottom half. Yeah. Because I think even if you're a great watcher of football and a really good someone who can really pick talent quickly, the exposure you get out of just those two things is just not going to give you enough to be able to identify those cheapies and be able to pick form and look at matchups and go, this guy is going to fire, because there's so many other parts to Supercoach, like who's in their up and comers, who did they trade?
I mean, I think you can look very early on in the trials and things like that, and we can get sucked into a few players. Joe Chan's a really good example.
Yep.
We thought he'd won that position at Melbourne. It looked like he was one injury away, and he was, from someone else coming in like Sean Blore, whether Sean Blore was injured at the start of the year and he was always in Bellamy's plans. But then you can also look at someone like Lockie Galvin. You just listened to how Benji spoke about him. You knew he was going to be a gun. You knew he had the position nailed down. That's one of the things. And the other thing to do with your cash cows or the cheapy blokes is to be patient, because it only takes two or three good weeks in a row for their price to rocket at such a small amount. And it's hard because you want to get rid of them and get someone else in, but you've got to make the most of their value. And I think when I say that, I don't mean they've got to max out, but they've got to get to a certain price before you can flick them.
I just think on that, though, I think there's two players that are more recent exposures that talk about timing and talk about change. So I was all over Sam Stone Street as my nuff last year. Did absolutely nothing.
We didn't get a game.
But everybody who watched him last week would go, that guy's got something. So you've got to be really careful to look at the roster to see whether Sam Stone Street's an option for next year. And the honest answer is he's not. He's had a blinder on a TV game.
Well, he is an option if Katoa or Mulatalo get a season-ending injury or a... something like that. So you've got to figure out their pecking order as well, I suppose. It's a bit like Kaliro is another good example. People didn't think he had the spot nailed down because Sifa Talakai should come back. But if you listen to the coach, he talked very highly of him. And he's a guy that's just set and forget. He's up to 700,000 now. So
just before we move on, I think the second version of that is I was watching the Tigers the other night, and I went a couple of weeks ago, and I went, I think it was one of the Fiene brothers, and I went, he looks red hot. And so much so that I texted you and said, is this guy black book for next year? And you just said to me straight up, Kev, where's Jerome Luai playing then? And I think that's the sort of, you see a good footballer, you see a bloke who can do football and absolutely had the ball on a string that night. And
have to do it more than once.
And looked like he was the size of Galvin. He can certainly step in. He's got all the plays, has a good playbook, was prepared to use it. But Jerome Luai is going to be their number one pick in that spot, and Galvin's got the lock on the other side. So you're never going to see that guy except for maybe Origin, except for maybe the odd occasion.
That's if Jerome Luai can go to the Tigers and play Origin. Most other players go to the Tigers and lose their Origin spot. So that might make Jerome Luai an obvious selection over Origin time next year.
Yep.
We'll finish up here, Kev. Looking forward to next year, how are you going to approach things differently?
Definitely weeks 1 to 7, got to build cash, got to have a black book, got to be ready. So I'll be 6 weeks out building my team properly in draft and really rephrasing it, which I've never done before. And I'll be, as I said, not sponsored, similar to you, but I do think I need that extra access to data to look at historical performances to be able to pick the cheapies and the real guns, not the football guns, but the super cash guns.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Cash early. Don't be afraid to make some big decisions and follow your gut. I think that's probably not your gut, because your gut's pretty shit. Follow the advice from playing for sheep stations early. There's something, because we often say it but don't do it. With the WAGS teams that we've been running this year, the idea was that anything a little bit controversial, we convince our wives to do instead of us doing it in our team. And both Mark and myself, we're significantly behind our wives, because we followed our gut with our advice for them. So that's another really good one, because sometimes, and don't listen to everyone, because if you've seen something, go for it, because it might be the year that it works. And yeah, I think...
have a crack. But I think my point on this, after listening solidly every week, almost like religion, and not knowing anything about Supercoach 2 years ago, For the listeners out there like me, cracking 10,000 is no simple task. There is a fair bit of work and a fair bit of sound advice and a ton of experience from my perspective to go from football understanding to Supercoach understanding to actually be able to do the sort of target, which is to crack the 10,000. I've not got anywhere close. I've hit some own goals. But it's pretty sound advice.
And I think we do have some listeners this year that have improved significantly.
Yeah.
And the top 10,000, while we might scoff about it, like myself, Guardsy, trainer, Mark, Dan, about being hopeless and being just outside the top 10,000, you've got to remember we've been playing this game for 10 or 11 years. And we've had some pretty good success throughout that time. But it is really hard. It is really hard to be at that pointy end. You need a bit of luck. You need a lot of study, a lot of study of stats, a lot of listening to other people's opinions. And then you've got to have a really strong conviction in what you think is right.
I think the sticking point that shows was when both of us were watching some football the other day.
Hmm.
And I'm still sitting there watching tackle counts and plays and you're counting points in Supercoach.
Yeah.
And I think to me that's the quintessential difference that most people wouldn't understand.
Yep, and that's how I watch games now. I'm sort of... As a former Parramatta fan and a now somewhat Panthers, I don't really go for Panthers, but I really like.
I've heard there's a hat. I haven't seen it.
It's in the cupboard. I really like how they play the game. I used to despise it, but I've watched their system now, and I watch from a system point of view and from a Supercoach point of view as well.
Yeah.
And I admire how well they play, particularly when they've got so many players out. And their game plan doesn't change. It doesn't get executed as well, but it doesn't change. So
they've changed the game. They've changed the game in the way they execute rugby league.
Kev, absolutely. I've enjoyed a chat with you.
Thank you, legend.
I've enjoyed you being on the podcast. Hopefully next year, I can announce you as one of the top players for playing for Sheep Stations in the league, and you can really have a great run at it. Are you going to stick with the Ranga Bears? Last question, I promise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stick Ranga with the Bears, Ranga Bears, or are you hitting the Western Bears?
No. Sticking with the Ranga Bears. Very excited to see Perth. Won't be travelling there very much. It's excitement, but it's not that sort of passion.
It's easy enough to go and watch them when they play the Knights, mate.
Yeah, well, there'll be that. That'll definitely be happening, or my auntie will never speak to me. Look, I think it's been really cool to be able to have a chat to you guys in real life. But I'll still keep listening either way because it's a bloody good laugh.
Thanks, mate. We've got some questions, and I'm pleased that you two blokes are here because Dom's come in with one last beauty that I think you're going to blow some steam off about. We've got three other questions.
I haven't missed that.
The questions have dried up a bit.
Can I need to interrupt. As Kev the Common Man, I've never seen your faces on video when Dom's questions are asked, and they are just the best. I know this is not a visual medium, but watching your two faces when Mick just went, Dom's got some questions, was the greatest thing I have seen in a long time.
All right, the first question, Kev, we're going to keep picking along here, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Mike, have you added anyone to the Never Again list? These are a bit common, these questions. Anyone from this season that you're not going near? I don't think I'll pick Jermaine Asako next year. He's been very disappointing over this last period when I've needed him. If I do pick him, I'll pick him before Origin, and then he can get the flick. You got anyone there, Guardsy? Bit of a question on the spot. No prep.
I'd love to say Nathan Cleary, but just because he's a soft vagina, and he's got a
Tommy Turbo's almost in that case too. I think I've used plenty of trades on those.
Save me a lot of money.
Trainer, anyone you're thinking that you're never going to go near again?
Oh, not really. I've had Jesse Arthur's the whole year, so I'm never buying that stack again, but no one. No one that actually matters.
My backup has been Luke Brooks. This is for you, Dan Marney. I held on to him with similar faith, and it will be never, ever again.
Well, at least you've learned something this year, Kev. That's a beauty. Troy, Turbo to who for my final trade? So he's obviously got one trade left. Who are you buying if you've got Turbo? Do you just go to Ponga against the Dolphins?
Ponga or Tedesco? Which one you don't have?
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. I think they'll pod.
Would you?
Or Suafalongo?
Well, that's what I... Yeah. I was thinking, can you get
$1 million on Thursday?
Is there a chance to get a bit cute like Dan Marney would say and go Faolongo or someone like, I don't even know, maybe Dylan Edwards? Could he come good? But if they get up by heaps against
Dylan Edwards,
you're just going to give him a rest, aren't they?
Maybe.
All right. Along the same road of who never again, Jacko asks first.
Well, there you go, Suafalonga. He's going to score 70 million.
You happy with Suafalonga? You think he'll score a million? Well, Guardsy's frozen on ice cream.
Yes.
Nice. Same vein as the first question. Jacko asks first player picked next year.
First picked. Jeez.
Depends on the draw. A fullback.
Probably the way he's played this year, Tedesco is probably a lock again.
Yeah.
Certainly, especially
if the Chooks are going to come out
no
for
Origin helps. I'm thinking someone in the back row like Isaiah Yeo just to lock and load 80 points every week early in the season. I know it didn't work necessarily for Kev, but find that bloke in the back row that's just going to get 80 minutes, a Pat Carrigan or someone like that who's just going to play big minutes and churn out good score, stay about the same value.
I know what mine is.
Go on.
And I'm stealing yours. It's Reid Marnie, pre-Origin. Jesus. He is my very... Well, Harry Grant absolutely... We'll talk about that later. Harry Grant absolutely destroyed me in the pre-Origin warm-up, and I think Reid Marnie is going to be the lock at hooker.
All right. 72,000.
Yep. Anyway. Comments from the common man. The bottom half speaks.
All right. Dom sent me these questions very early. He starts with early questions for tomorrow. So this is how much thought he's put into this. He has one trade left. Marnie, Willison, Eli Katoa, DCE, Dillbags, Garrick, and Ponga will play, but are on my bench. Is there a pod player that you'd suggest to go a straight Walker to Hughes trade? He's coming 10,755. I just don't know if there's... I wouldn't think overthink it. Just get the best player, whoever's got the best matchup. Could be someone from the Panthers, could be someone from... I don't even know, the Eels or the Tigers or someone. I think we might have lost the boys, but we'll keep chugging on here.
They look as interested as normal.
They've told me that my internet is cooked.
Oh.
We're back. You've just moved. I can see
like Dom skiing or something.
Yeah, we're down at Threadbow. We still got you.
There you go.
Oh. Yeah, you're back.
We're back. I'll have to do some editing on all of that. That's okay. So did you get Dom's question or you didn't get it? It's about a million words long. He wants to know mate, only got about 84 devices.
Who to play from his bench?
No, he wants to know who to trade Turbo to. I don't know.
Oh, we just answered that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think he's, I don't know. He's coming 10,755th.
He wants to trade
Turbo. Upside fullback, whatever we just said. If he doesn't have Ponga, get
him. You've already answered that. Yeah.
He's got Ponga. Or
fucking Farlongo.
Yeah.
So he doesn't own Tedesco.
Somehow get
Tedesco, get Farlongo, get Edwards.
Somehow get someone in. Righto, boys, trades. Have you got any trades left, trainer?
Well, I haven't had trades for about the same time as Gardsy.
Oh, really? You went hard.
I used my last trade on Cleary to autism and killed him.
Gardsy, you've got no trades. You haven't had trades for months.
Excuse me. It was like 3 weeks ago. I did pretty well.
I think Kev's got one trade. Who are you trading?
Two trades this week.
Kev's got two trades.
So...
He's
you know,
pulled him to get into the top 70,000.
Since it was clear I wasn't going to win the competition, I decided to have a goal to have trades in the last round. And, yeah, well, it didn't improve my score any. But I've got two trades this week. Luke Brooks, sayonara, from round one to round 27, to Jerome Luai. And Tommy Dearden, also another round one to round 27, to Del Brown.
Chasing last week's points a little
bit. Yeah, I'm holding on very tight for a big
deal,
finish.
Brown, but
good trades.
I don't mind those trades, though.
They might have been prompted by the other bloke on the call.
Yeah, so I don't mind Jerome Luai. I think he's a pretty good shout this week against the Titans. I can't see them having much of a go. But my fear is that he might get subbed off early. But who knows? Who cares, really?
Who cares?
Wags, we went through the Wags a little bit earlier. Mary went shit. She had Ruben and Dillbags on the bench, got 1126, dropped 1,000 spots to 3,700. I think Allison scored 1,400 and something, so she went well. Gardsy, did you do anything good with Rose?
She scored 1,217, not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Captain Ben Hunt, though, that's what ruined her.
I just read something before we came on that Ben Hunt's not happy with Flano. Apparently he singled him out in the spray after the game against Para. And Ben Hunt...
Imagine a player not being happy with Shane Flanagan. Yes. Who would have thought?
So who would have thought? Captains and vice-captains this week, boys. We really are flying through this tonight. What are you thinking with your captains and your vice-captains? Who's going
for? I'm locked in already.
What do you got?
I'm locked in. VC Jerome, Captain Teddy.
Same.
What are you doing?
I got no idea.
I wasn't. Since Jerome is just a recent ring in, maybe.
Yeah, let it fly, Kev.
Well,
I would.
Straight
V,
C.
VC, VC, dual bags, Captain Luai.
Yeah,
Double
but
down.
I've
Are they in
been.
the same position?
But I
Have you got
can't.
him in the same position?
No.
Separate positions, he can do that.
Straight C then.
That's what he should be
Only
doing.
option.
It's done.
Love to see it.
Yeah, I'm thinking something along those lines. I don't even know. The Bulldogs are far out. I hyped them up last week as the best defensive team. They looked pretty ordinary against a decent team, didn't they? So,
Got shit on.
yes. So I don't know. Maybe Val Holmes can do a similar job. Who knows if there's points in that game, and then Captain Ponga probably in the last game of the round. Give me something to look at with the Knights. Well, we haven't got Mark's magic multi, but we've got Kev's counter comeback because Kev's been following Mark's multi religiously, and he's a fair way in the hole. So he's going to offer something back for the listeners if they want to have a bet to try and claw some of Mark's negative vibes back, I suppose, if that's the right way to do it. Kev, do you need me to read it out for you? You got it.
I've got it.
Okay, it's just loading.
I just want to reiterate that I've said about 1,000 times in the last 5 weeks, can we have Fletcher Sharp in the pick?
He's only scored three or four hat tricks.
And so, unsurprisingly, I'm going Fletcher Sharp in the Knights versus the Dolphins. I'm going Grant Anderson, a good Central Charles Town butcher boy, to get one against the Bronx. And then
Who will he be running against? Who will Edison be
doesn't
against?
matter. Doesn't matter.
I think he's squeezing between Dean Mariner at centre, which says everything that I needed to say. Sorry, Guardsy. I didn't
Guardsy
mean.
loves him. He's Guardsy's favourite.
Selwyn did his best Dean Mariner impression on the weekend too. He was
But actually,
a
yeah. I think it's
atrocious. All
Corey
right, get to the
Oates
last one.
and Mariner. So I just think that's funny. And to give it some value, I just think the Tigers through the middle are as weak as. And Sean Lane, for a wonderful podcast, is going to bust through the middle. Each one of those will give you, with a power play, $17.23 for the multi.
So you'll still be in negative if it gets up, even because of Mark's poor punting over the course of the year. But yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. If Mark can,
Not if you put 100 on it.
no, well, that's right. If you up your bet from the $5 a week Mark suggests to a $50 bet, you'd probably be in front and pretty happy and be calling for Kev every week and not Mark. But if you
Oh.
can't tell, Kev's a bit of a dribbler. He loves to talk, and that's why I've cut that other segment out for now, and we'll record that a bit later. It'll fit in seamlessly, but. He's about three sheets to the wind as well, which is really handy. Been good to see you, boys. We might try and catch up next week and do something as a very quick recap of where we went wrong or where it all went wrong if we've got time. But that was a quick one tonight because there's really not that much to talk about in our world around Supercoach, and hopefully we can help someone. Jerome Luai, I think, is a really good chance
Any
to.
Melbourne player.
Yeah, I don't mind. I just worry that those teams might get rested early. That's probably the bigger worry that I've got
They can't
with.
rest them all. There's only four spots on the bench.
Well, that's true. But they can rest Harry, Jerome, Cameron. That's probably the ones they need to rest. They've rested Pappy, haven't they? Playing.
Just bring in.
Honestly, you could play Tyrone. Well, you could captain Tyrone Wishart this week. I reckon you'll score 150.
Off
Still a favourite.
the
Xavier Cup 200.
bench. Mate, how many dummies will people take off Tyrone Wishart this week?
Plenty.
It's, surely that is in their rap sheet and they still take him, don't they? Anyway, righto, boys, good luck.
Well, Fletcher
Coach
Baker's
Guardsy, hope
team, so he'll...
you can finish inside the top 1,000, Guardsy. Get a pair of socks, order them in small.
already got a pair.
Righto,
Already got a pair. It's all right.
boys.
Love to
Thanks.
meet you virtually, boys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for that.